Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Man charged with assaulting another man with hammer. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed a 29-year-old man hit a man and damaged the man's car with a hammer and attempted to throw the hammer in a dumpster behind a gas station. Irishel Rogers was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon causing serious bodily injury, family violence, a first-degree felony, tampering with physical evidence, a third-degree felony, and criminal mischief, a Class B misdemeanor. The reported assault happened around 2:17 p.m. Monday at Madison Square Apartments, 2201 Rocky Lane, an OPD affidavit stated. Dispatch was reportedly notified by a neighbor that they saw a man with a hammer yelling from one of the apartments. Officers arrived and spoke with a man at the apartment who was identified as Derek Cephas. Cephas had his left nostril split open and was bleeding heavily, the affidavit stated. He stated he was in his apartment when he heard glass breaking outside. Cephas stated his roommate, Rogers, was outside next to his vehicle, a 2018 brown Toyota Corolla, and saw his window was shattered. Cephas stated he saw Rogers with a hammer in his hand. Rogers reportedly walked up the stairs to his apartment and asked Cephas if he was messing around with his cousin. Cephas reportedly told Rogers that he was married to his cousin. Cephas stated that Rogers told him that he was going to hit him in the face with the hammer, and he swung it at him and hit him in the nostril, the affidavit stated. Cephas stated Rogers took off running. Officers reportedly found Rogers near the DK located at 6001 East Ridge Road. The officers reported that Rogers was walking beside a pickup truck and ducked in front of the truck to avoid being seen and threw the hammer inside a dumpster about 40 feet from him. The officers were told by a witness that Rogers threw the hammer and showed the officer the location of it. Officers later spoke with a juvenile who stated he was in the bedroom of the apartment with his little brother when he heard a loud bang. He went to the living room and saw Cephas was on the ground bleeding from his nose and Rogers was standing over him with a hammer. The juvenile also stated Rogers hit the driver's side of Cephas' vehicle with the hammer, which broke the glass, and then Rogers took off running. Rogers was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 2:45 a.m. Tuesday, jail records show. He has three bonds totaling $58,000 and was still in custody as of Thursday morning. Duran receives Fulbright Award. Rinaldo Duran, math teacher at the Alternative Education Center, has been selected for the Fulbright Teachers for Global Classrooms, a program sponsored by the U.S. Department of State and the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. Duran, who is originally from the Philippines, is a 14-year veteran teacher and is starting his fifth year with Ector County ISD, all of those at the Alternative Center. He was surprised to learn he had been accepted. At first, I was hesitant to apply because I thought I might not be the right fit to represent the country for this Fulbright Fellowship, he said in a news release. Recipients of Fulbright grants are selected on the basis of academic and professional achievement, as well as a record of service and demonstrated leadership potential. The Fulbright program is the flagship international educational exchange program sponsored by the U.S. government and was created to increase mental understanding and build lasting connections between the people of the United States and the people of other countries. The primary source of funding for the Fulbright program is an annual appropriation made by the U.S. Congress to the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, ECA. Since its inception in 1946, the Fulbright program has given more than 390,000 passionate and accomplished students, scholars, teachers, artists, and professionals of all backgrounds and fields the opportunity to study, teach, and conduct research, exchange ideas, and contribute to finding solutions to important international problems. The global network of Fulbrighters fosters mutual understanding between the United States and partner nations, advances knowledge across communities, and improves lives around the globe. Fulbrighters address critical global challenges in all fields while building relationships, knowledge, and leadership in support of the long-term interests of the United States. Fulbright alumni have achieved distinction in many areas and include 60 Nobel Prize laureates, 75 MacArthur Foundation fellows, and 37 who have served as a head of state or government. 86 Fulbright alumni have won in total 91 Pulitzer Prizes. Fulbright is active in more than 160 countries worldwide and partners with participating governments, host institutions, corporations, and foundations in foreign countries and in the United States. Many of these organizations also provide direct and indirect support. ECA sponsors the Fulbright program, and several nonprofit cooperative partners implement and support the program on the Bureau's behalf. The Fulbright Teachers for Global Classrooms program is a year-long professional development opportunity for U.S. elementary, middle, and high school teachers to develop skills for preparing students for a competitive global economy. The program equips teachers to bring an international perspective to their schools through targeted training, experience abroad, and global collaboration. West Texas Food Bank receives $54,000 donation. Houston. Ferrovial and its subsidiaries, Cintra, Ferrovial Construction, and Weber LLC, announced that they have contributed $54,465 to the West Texas Food Bank and increased demands due to COVID-19. The West Texas Food Bank has been helping the communities of Odessa, Midland, and other West Texas areas for more than 35 years. The organization is the largest nonprofit, non-governmental hunger relief organization in the Permian Basin. We are proud to be able to help during this time of need in communities where our employees and contractors live and work, Jose Carlos Esteban, president and CEO of Weber, said. This donation will help provide needed meals to West Texas families and is part of about $400,000 in food bank contributions being made in Texas by Ferrovial and its subsidiaries. The West Texas Food Bank operates on-campus pantries at its locations in Odessa and Midland and conducts mobile district in underserved areas of the 19 counties they serve. The organization distributes donated and purchased food to children, families, and seniors through a network of over 80 partner agencies in those 19 counties. Every dollar donated helps provide 4 meals for the hungry. As the COVID-19 crisis continues to unfold, donations like this one from the Ferrovial Together COVID-19 Fund will help the West Texas Food Bank provide thousands of additional meals to hungry West Texans, Libby Campbell, Executive Director of West Texas Food Bank, said. The fight against hunger continues to require increased efforts from the food bank, and donations like this help sustain our mission. This year has certainly been different, and I cannot thank Ferrovial and Weber enough for this much-needed donation. In Texas, Ferrovial has also contributed more than $400,000 to food assistance programs to help with the increased needs in the communities it serves, including the Houston Food Bank, Central Texas Food Bank, North Texas Food Bank, and Tarrant Area Food Bank. In addition, the company has donated $162,000 to the Baylor College of Medicine to assist with its COVID-19 research efforts, and $100,000 to the One Star Foundation's Texas COVID Relief Fund to assist with recovery efforts in Texas. This contribution is part of a larger fundraising campaign, Ferovial Together COVID-19, created by Ferovial to support vulnerable groups and those at risk of exclusion in the United States, Spain, and the United Kingdom as a result of the current health crisis. The company has made an initial contribution of more than $5.6 million and will match donations up to an additional $5.8 million for a total of more than $11 million. In the United States, the company is committing $1.2 million to pandemic recovery efforts and medical research. For more information about the Ferovial Together COVID-19 Fund, visit tinyurl.com/Y50 7Y4N. 7V4N. Founded in 1963, Weber is a leading heavy civil and waterworks construction company and material producer dedicated to safely providing intelligent solutions to its clients and community. As a wholly owned subsidiary of Ferovial S.A., an international company based in Madrid, Spain, Weber has access to a global network of skilled engineers, best-in-class technology, and vast resources. Weber is headquartered in Houston, Texas, with regional offices in South, North, and Central Texas, as well as Fairfax, Virginia, and Atlanta, Georgia. Weber was selected by Engineering News Record as the 2018 Contractor of the Year for the Texas-Louisiana region and has been named a National AGC Safety Award winner for the past 6 consecutive years. For more information, visit www.weber.com. Obituary and death notices for Friday, August 21st. Mildred Lenora Smith. Mildred Lenora Smith passed away August 18th in Temple at the age of 90. Lenora was born February 25, 1930, in Balco, Oklahoma, the 10th of 12 children of John Leroy Kinsey and Stella May Ballard Kinsey. She is preceded in death by her husband, Avery Smith, her son, Avery Lee Smith, and 2 grandsons, Aaron Smith and Adrian Smith, her parents, and 11 brothers and sisters. She is survived by her daughter Peggy and son-in-law Bill Smith, grandson, 2 granddaughters, and 3 great-grandchildren. Graveside services will be held at 9 a.m. Monday, August 24th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Sean Smith officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign the guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Richard Alexis Bush. Richard Alexis Bush, 97, of Odessa, died Wednesday, August 19th. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Sunday, August 23rd at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Wanda Louise Ely. Wanda Louise Ely, 77, of Midland, died Friday, August 14th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home, and Crematory of Midland. John Lee Hunter. John Lee Hunter, 65, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 20th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Agers West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. June Maxine Andrews Robertson. June Maxine Andrews Robertson, 89, of Kermit, died Tuesday, August 18th. A funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. August 22nd at First Baptist Church in Kermit. Burial will follow at Kermit Cemetery, with Dudley Mullins officiating. Arrangements are by Family Services Funeral Parlor of Kermit. Cole Wilson Stanley. Cole Wilson Stanley, 23, of Midland, died Saturday, August 15th in Del Rio. A funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. August 21st at Stonegate Fellowship. Burial following at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Channing Chrysler officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Hugh Brady Willie Swan. Hugh Brady Swan, 77, of Monahans, died Tuesday, August 18th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Agers West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Bobby Nolan Thompson. Bobby Nolan, Bobby T. Thompson, 82, of Kermit, died Wednesday, August 19th. A graveside service was held August 21st at Kermit Cemetery, with Eddie Whitefield officiating. Arrangements are by Family Services Funeral Parlor of Kermit. Juan Leyva Lil John Corrales II. Juan Leyva Lil John Corrales II, 27, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 6th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. August 21st at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Marjorie Koenig Craig. Marjorie Koenig Crane, 76, of Odessa, died Sunday, August 16th. A funeral service was held August 21st at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial followed at Sunset Memorial Gardens.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, the education section. Expectation of easy A leads to possible engineering career. From Rebecca Bell, Midland College Profiles. To be honest, the whole reason I enrolled in the Petroleum Academy when I was in high school freshman was because I thought it would be an easy A, Juan Padilla said. I had no idea I would enjoy it so much and that it would be a determining factor in my career choice. Padilla graduated from Lee High School in May. In addition to his high school diploma, he also received a certificate in energy technology from Midland College. As a student enrolled in the Midland College Midland ISD College and Careers Petroleum Academy, Padilla was able to take dual credit courses from MC while still in high school. In approximately 18 months, he will have completed all required coursework to earn an Associate of Applied Science degree in energy technology. My ultimate goal is to get a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, Padilla said. By getting an associate degree first, I hope to be able to work in the energy industry while I'm completing college. As a high school student in the Petroleum Academy, Padilla took hands-on energy technology courses at the Midland College Advanced Technology Center. Academy curriculum prepares students for entry-level positions as lease operators, lease managers, and general field service technicians within the oil and gas industry. Coursework focuses on highly specialized technical classes as well as safety practices and training. I really enjoyed the opportunity to learn in a hands-on environment, Padilla said. We worked on projects and experiments as part of a team. It wasn't just about learning course material, though. We practiced job interviewing, resume building, really getting prepared for the real world. I also had the opportunity to make connections to jobs and people through guest lecturers and job fairs. One of my instructors, Mr. Cummins, would also tell us about various scholarship opportunities. Padilla said that he followed up on those opportunities, and when Anthony Cummins told the class about a scholarship being offered through Lockheed Martin, Padilla completed the application. It wasn't a very difficult application to complete, so I decided, why not? I didn't have anything else to lose, Padilla said. One day I was sitting in the kitchen reading my email, and to my surprise, there was one from Lockheed Martin telling me that I had been awarded a $6,600 scholarship. Padilla earned the first place in mechatronics and second place in automotive tool identification during the regional Skill USA competition in San Angelo in February. Skills USA is a partnership for students, teachers, and industry working together to ensure America has a skilled workforce. The program helps students excel in leadership, technical, and occupationally related skills. Padilla and other MCMISD Academy students were slated to compete at the State Skills USA competition in Corpus Christi in April, but the competition was canceled because of the pandemic. It has been a pleasure knowing Juan, Pete Avalos, MC Department Chair, Petroleum Engineer Energy, said. From the first time we met, it was apparent that he was very dedicated and self-driven. With his work ethic, there is no doubt that he will one day achieve his dream of completing a degree in one of the engineering fields. We are extremely proud of Juan because he is a wonderful young man, great example to other students, and represents MC very well. The native Midlander lives with his parents, Jeanette and Danny Freeman. Padilla's biological father, Juan Antonio Padilla Sr., died when he was just a year old. Padilla's grandmother, Bella Morales, has been hospitalized for the past month with COVID-19, and Padilla is excited to finally have her home. I want to make my grandma proud by becoming successful, impactful, and encouraging because I want to show the love and support I've received through my family and her, and reciprocate those things in my community. He attended Jones Elementary and later Bush Elementary, and then Abel Hanger High. At Lehigh, he was a member of the band's drum line and competed at state UIL solo and ensemble competition. So it hasn't exactly been an easy A, like I originally thought, but it has been fun and interesting. I'm glad I took Petroleum Academy courses when I was in high school. I think that I'm more prepared for a career than a lot of guys my age. I'm looking forward to taking more energy technology courses at Midland College this fall. College students susceptible to fraud during the pandemic. College students are returning to campus for the start of the semester, and with confusion surrounding new COVID-19 procedures, they may not be thinking about protecting their identities. Students are becoming more susceptible to fraud, which means educating children and young adults on financial literacy is more important than ever. Help your student establish healthy financial practices with these tips. Keep sensitive mail secure. Have mail with sensitive information, such as credit card statements or financial aid documents, sent to your permanent address or a post office box. Dorm mailboxes can often be easily accessed by other people. Store important documents. Designate a secure location to store your important documents. This includes your Social Security card, passport, banking information, and credit card statements. If you don't want to keep documents that may have sensitive information, shred them before throwing them out. Never lend credit or debit cards. It may be tempting to let a friend borrow your card if they forget or lose theirs, but it is safest to refrain from doing so. You should also keep your PIN numbers private and avoid co-signing on loans. Guard your passwords. Don't share your passwords with anyone, and create strong passwords that can't be easily guessed. Always use double-factor authentication when possible. Watch for phishing scams. Students receive a lot of emails, which can make it difficult to sort out the scams from the legitimate communications. Never click on links or open attachments from a sender you don't recognize. Phishing scams can also be sent over text or social media. Keep your software updated. Make sure your phone and computer have the latest updates on their operating system. This will include security updates, which can help protect against malware. Check credit card statements. Check your statements for the credit and debit cards regularly. Look for any suspicious activity and report anything you find to your bank or credit card company. The sooner you identify fraud, the easier it will be to fix it. Shop smart online. Read reviews and check business profiles at bbb.org before shopping with a retailer online. Give your credit or debit card number only on a secure site. Look for the icon next to the URL to see if it is a secure site. Monitor your credit. You get one free credit report each year from each of the credit reporting bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. You can use these to check for any inaccurate or suspicious activity. For more information, contact Heather Massey, Senior Regional Director for the Permian Basin Office of BBB at 741-2592 or hmassey at permianbasin.bbb.org.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Other Voices, OAOA.com. Guest Views. Press Freedom is Canary in the Coal Mine by Christopher Walsh. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. While there are different ways a democracy can practice vigilance, from citizens voting to protesting injustices to fostering civil society, press freedom may be the most integral. A free and vibrant media provides an entry point and platform for citizens to stay informed, engage in their communities, consume and civilly debate ideas, and hold government accountable for its actions. In fact, the health of independent media within a liberal democracy may be akin to the old practice of placing a canary in a coal mine. If a toxic atmosphere kills the canary, there's serious trouble. Consider a recent interview with Venezuelan freedom advocate Rodrigo Diamante. Responding to a question about what democracies could learn from Venezuela's backslide into authoritarianism, he said, "By controlling freedom of the press and freedom of information, Hugo Chavez and his government could continue doing other changes, destroying the judicial system, imprisoning political opponents, and even torturing people. The most important factor to defend in a democracy is freedom of press. Once you lose that, you start to lose all the rest of the elements of what makes a democracy." While the assault on independent media continues in Venezuela, press freedom faces similar battles elsewhere. A recent Freedom House report says that media freedom has been deteriorating around the world over the past decade. There are troubling examples of established and newer democracies clamping down on media. According to Freedom House, nearly 20% of the countries ranked free have seen press freedom decline over the last 5 years. They attribute this, at least partly, to populist leaders who have overseen concerted attempts to throttle the independence of the media sector. Look at the Philippines, where journalist Maria Ressa's conviction on dubious libel charges has intensified concerns over democracy's future under President Rodrigo Duterte. In Hungary, Viktor Orban has manipulated the system to increase his control over the country's news agencies and silence critics. And in Turkey, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan prosecutes anyone who insults him via old or new media. Of course, press freedom in a democracy doesn't just mysteriously erode. The people must consent to it explicitly or implicitly by voting for or excusing the actions of leaders who disregard or degrade democratic institutions like a free press. Such leaders gain traction by exploiting public frustration with the existing system. Social scientists Yasha Monk and Roberto Foa offer evidence that frustration with democracy is both real and widespread. According to research, an overall majority of people living in democracies are dissatisfied with their system of government. In fact, as Monk and Foa reveal, public confidence in democracy is at the lowest point on record in the United States, the major democracies of Western Europe, Sub-Saharan Africa, and Latin America. Moreover, recent experiences in the United States, Brazil, and the United Kingdom suggest that when people feel dissatisfied, unheard, and left behind, they will seek unconventional means to shake up or even tear down the existing system. Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy helps conceptualize this experience. Gotham City, once a bastion of idealism and prosperity, descends into crime, corruption, and inequality over decades. It becomes a powder keg of dissatisfaction ignited by Batman's vigilantism. In the upheaval, space opens for anarchists like the Joker and strongmen like Bane to exploit society through fear or by smashing the rule of law under the guise of giving Gotham back to the people. These themes of dissatisfaction, broken systems, and exploitation would likely resonate with many Americans at this moment in our history. People are frustrated and polarized. For these reasons, U.S. democracy needs dependable, independent media that informs the public in tense times. Unfortunately, media credibility in the United States is increasingly determined along political lines. It won't surprise you that polls show Democrats place greater trust in CNN and less in Fox News, while Republicans do the opposite. The same polls also show that not one news outlet earns more than 50% of the overall public's trust. What's more, distrust of media outlets has increased over the past 5 years, particularly among Republicans. One must wonder how heavily continuous disparagement of the press as fake news and the enemy of the people weighs on those perceptions. Sadly, it's not difficult to imagine American press freedom facing greater challenges if public opinion continues along this path. Certainly, citizens should demand high journalistic integrity, but media's job is to scrutinize. That scrutiny benefits the public by providing them information to hold government accountable and to become better citizens. And if our leaders disagree with the media's assessment on an issue, they have platforms to engage, respond, and persuade without degrading press freedom. As Americans, it's in our best interest to support media institutions that are independent, robust, and free. They're essential to the vigilance required for preserving our cherished liberty. If you doubt that, look at the consequences of undermining press freedom in Venezuela, the Philippines, Hungary, and Turkey. If that canary in the coal mine dies, we're in danger. Christopher Walsh is Senior Program Manager for the Human Freedom and Women's Initiative at the George W. Bush Institute. He wrote this for InsideSources.com.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, "Birtherism Makes an Unwelcome Return," by Jonah Goldberg, Tribune News Service. The birtherism 2.0 brouhaha began the way so many do. A Donald Trump sycophant, in this case Trump campaign lawyer Jenna Ellis, handed the president a hot take opinion piece as if it was breaking news. Mere hours later, at a press conference, he acted as if that op-ed was a settled legal ruling from a court or perhaps his office of legal counsel. Kamala Harris is ineligible to be vice president because her parents weren't yet U.S. citizens when she was born on American soil. When asked about the claim, Trump took the bait. "I just heard it today that she doesn't meet the requirements," Trump said. "And by the way, the lawyer that wrote that piece is a very highly qualified, very talented lawyer." It's all so pointlessly stupid. I'm not even referring to the argument put forward in Newsweek by the, quote, "very talented lawyer," unquote, John Eastman, questioning more than a century of law, constitutional interpretation, and the plain text of the 14th Amendment on the meaning of, quote, "persons born or naturalized in the United States," unquote. I don't find it persuasive, nor do most legal scholars, although I don't think it's necessarily racist to question whether birthright citizenship is good policy. Most countries don't have it, and I don't see how proposing that we have the same policy as, say, Sweden or Belgium would make us moral monsters. What's pointless and stupid is using Harris, Joe Biden's half-Jamaican, half-Indian, but legally all-American running mate, as the poster girl for the issue. At least Eastman had something of an excuse in that birthright citizenship has been his white whale for a long time. And any news peg will do when you're obsessed with a topic, I suppose. On the other hand, Eastman and his co-religionists on this issue weren't as enthusiastic about using the presidential bid of Republican John McCain, born in Panama, as fodder for their theories, not to mention Ted Cruz, born in Canada. It seems that having elected officials who are supposedly less than 100% American is only terrifying when those officials are Democrats, particularly non-white Democrats. But Trump's decision to promote this new birther claim, immediately triggering his surrogates to do likewise, suggests that Trump thinks he can run a 2016 campaign in 2020. This shouldn't be surprising, given that he's often governed as if that campaign never really ended, acting like a heckler of the government he supposedly runs. And that's the problem, because even if you think his 2016 campaign proved he was the four-dimensional chess master of legend and fable, and even if you enjoy his 24/7 own the libs presidency, this just isn't 2016 anymore. Lay to one side the fact that Eastman's argument, like a ship in dry dock, has gone nowhere for years and will continue to be a non-starter. It has all the political and legal force of a cocktail party conversation starter. Trump rode the original birther conspiracy theory, that Barack Obama wasn't born in Hawaii and that he was hiding the evidence, to prominence on the right. But as President of the United States, Trump doesn't need an issue to get media attention anymore. Moreover, Obama birtherism was an actual conspiracy theory, and conspiracy theories are always good for clicks and eyeballs. This Harris thing isn't a conspiracy theory at all. It's just an arcane legal claim. There's no implied big reveal in the way there was when Trump's personal Indiana Jones went off in search of Obama's birth certificate. This story has no MacGuffin. Also, the people Trump won over with birtherism 1.0 are still with him. Indeed, they're a sizable chunk of his base. Likewise, those favoring the repeal of birthright citizenship are probably already in Trump's column as well, even though he's failed to follow through on promises to get rid of it. Of course, most people who think birtherism 2.0 is racist, sexist, or nativist are probably already committed to voting for Trump. But the swing voters in this election, by definition, are more sympathetic to Trump or Trumpism. They may be undecided, agnostic, or apathetic about birthright citizenship or the candidates themselves, but many are likely exhausted with the pointless theatrics and relentless fighting over sexism, racism, and nativism, driven by the president's sops to one segment of the electorate that has been in his corner all along. This column is distributed by Tribune Content Agency.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Slow HR, sinus node trouble. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 84-year-old female in relatively good health. My doctor is concerned that my heart rate is too slow, consistently in the 50s. I have worn a Holter monitor and had an echocardiogram test. Both came back negative for any problems. What could be causing my sinus brachycardia? P.S. The answer. The sinus in sinus brachycardia has nothing to do with your nose. It refers to a cavity that exists embryologically that becomes part of the wall of the right atrium. The natural pacemaker of the heart is contained there and is called the sinus node or sinoatrial node. Brachycardia is from the Greek words meaning slow heart and is a common condition that only occasionally becomes a problem. Brachycardia is having less than 60 beats per minute, and sinus rhythm means the impulse is coming from the usual place. Trained athletes often have slow heart rates, occasionally some diseases, including Lyme disease, hypothyroidism, and sleep apnea, can cause sinus brachycardia. Many medications, especially beta blockers, can cause a slow heart rate. However, in the elderly, slow heart rates can be an early sign that the cells in the sinus node aren't working as well as they used to. One cardiologist where I trained called them gray hairs in the heart. Sinus brachycardia needs to be treated when it is causing symptoms, and a cardiologist with special training in rhythm disorders called an electrophysiologist is the best referral when the slow heart is not due to other causes. Patients with extreme brachycardia below 40 would also rate a referral, even if they don't report symptoms, as many will note improvement with treatment. The most common treatment is a permanent pacemaker.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. No symptoms, COVID-19. Dear Dr. Roach, will you please explain how a person who is not sick or has no symptoms tests positive for COVID-19? How do doctors know he has it? The symptoms they tell us are the same symptoms we knew made us sick when we were young. Our mother put us to bed, gave us some medicine, and we were good to go in a couple of days. Don't we carry a lot of germs? LJT. Answer. The majority of COVID-19 infections have minimal or no symptoms. People without symptoms may be tested due to concerns about exposure or as part of a program to identify the prevalence in the population. The test is specific for the genetic material of the virus. It is true that for many people, the symptoms are similar to the common cold or another of the many germs, bacteria, and viruses we are exposed to. However, some people get terribly ill due to COVID-19. As of this writing, there have been over 500,000 deaths worldwide and will be higher still when this is published. As in the above answer, why some people get ill and die while others have no symptoms is a mystery, although we know some risk factors for becoming seriously ill, such as older age, being male, and a history of high blood pressure or diabetes.
Man's affair with neighbor reaches a moment of truth. Dear Abby, for Friday, August 21st, 2020. Dear Abby, last night I visited my 47-year-old son. After a 23-year marriage, he is going through a nasty divorce. While I was there, he asked my opinion about what he should do regarding a situation. A 62-year-old female divorced neighbor, who looks much younger, befriended him, and they've been having sex and spending time together for several months. She hasn't been in any relationships for 2 years. He told her he's not interested in a permanent relationship because he's still not in a good emotional place, but he told me the real reason is their age difference. She told him she wants to continue, hoping it will lead to something permanent. He wants to be friends with benefits, but doesn't want to hurt her feelings by telling her this. He's a decent guy and feels he's being deceptive. I suggested he be honest and tell her it's because of the age difference. What do you recommend? Mom in the middle. Dear Mom, does your son think it will hurt the woman's feelings less if he monopolizes her for months or more and breaks the news later? For some people, a 15-year age difference is no big deal, but the longer this arrangement continues, the more hurt she will be when she finds out how much it matters to him. I agree with you. Honesty is the best policy. And you know what? If she's as worldly as I suspect she may be, she may agree to continue the arrangement just the way it is. Dear Abby, I am a quilter. I have created hundreds of quilts as gifts for friends and family over the last 30 years. Earlier this year, my husband's uncle passed away, and my mother-in-law brought his quilt over and gave it back to me. When my mother passed recently, I was given her quilt back too. Looking at them makes me sad, but I can't bear to just throw them away. My question is, what do I do with them? And what can I say to people about not returning these gifts I made without hurting their feelings at the time they've lost their loved ones? Hurt in California. Dear Hurt, this is the first I have heard about returning personal gifts to the givers after someone passes away, and frankly, I am surprised. I wonder if the same would be true of gifts of expensive jewelry or clothing. If it happens again, all you have to say is how sorry you are for the person's loss, but that you don't need the quilt back, and suggest it be donated to a hospital, nursing home, senior center, or orphanage. Consider contacting a local church for information on where they might be needed. As to what to say to these grieving relatives, remember that when a gift is given, it is the recipient's, or the recipient's survivors, to do with as they wish. Try not to take it so personally. Dear Abby, what do you say to a guy who resurfaces 10 months after our first encounter and wants to know if I want to see him again? He didn't mention going to dinner or a movie or anything, just seeing each other every 10 days or so. Undecided in Florida. Dear Undecided, I'm not you, but this is what I would say. What do you have in mind? A hike? A picnic at the beach? A socially distanced dinner? And if his answer isn't something more than just getting together for sex, I'd pass.
Dear Abby, couples' interests diverge now that son has grown. Dear Abby, I'm married to a great husband. We worked well together in our business. He's loyal, dependable, was a great stepfather when my son was young, etc. When we were younger, we were always very busy working on the house, raising a family, and starting a small business. My son is now grown and has moved away. The house needs little work. We no longer have the business, and we both work part-time. The problem is, we don't have the same interests. I do a lot alone or with friends, but many of them have moved or become very settled down. I rarely have anyone to do anything with unless it's something that interests my husband. It's hard to get him to do anything I want to do. He either complains or refuses. Looking back, I think he was always like this, but we were too busy to notice. I feel very alone now. I feel like time is ticking by and I'm wasting my life, my time, etc. Many days I think I should leave, but leaving would change our lifestyle dramatically. Sometimes I feel we only stay together for the lifestyle. I have tried to talk to him about this many times, but I get nowhere. Suggestions? Time ticks by in New England. Dear Time Ticks By, you feel alone and adrift because you are. The glue that held your marriage together seems to have been your son, who is now grown and has moved away. It's time to ask yourself how important your lifestyle is. It's possible that if you remain in this marriage, you can find what you're looking for by becoming more independent. Travel, join special interest clubs, cultivate new friends, take classes that interest you and live your life. You might also visit meetup.com to get involved in activities in your area with like-minded people. There is no guarantee your husband will ever be the partner you fantasize he should be. Some sessions with a therapist might be useful to help you clarify your thinking, and that's what I'm suggesting. Dear Abby, I'm a 13-year-old who wants to be an individual. My 10-year-old brother constantly copies me and mocks me, yet he gets upset whenever I point it out. The last straw was when I went through his YouTube and found almost all the same music I like. My parents always say I should be flattered, or he's just looking up to me. I am tired of it. He copies the things I say, and the way I say them, the music I like, and my hobbies. It's very, very annoying, and I guarantee that is why he continues to do it. I've tried telling him to stop, but somehow in any conversation relating to that, I end up being the bad guy. Should I just throw away my entire collection of interests, enjoyments, and hobbies? Losing my individuality. Dear Losing, on the contrary, accept that because you are older, you may always be the leader, and your younger brother will continue to follow you and mimic you. He may not do it to annoy you, but because he lacks your imagination and interests of his own. Your mistake is letting what he does affect you. The sooner you overcome that impulse, the better off you will be. You may not be able to control your brother, but you can control the way you react to him. And that's a skill that will serve you well as you go through life. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Virgo until 5:16 a.m., when the moon enters Libra. Happy birthday for Friday, August 21, 2020. Protective, composed, and sensual. You are torn between private and public. This year, you receive public recognition, and the latter half is very successful for you. If single, you don't make the first move, but you are sought after. You prefer to remain unattached this year. If attached, you're as happy as a clam and very generous. You will soon go on an adventure together. Gemini says you have nothing to prove. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. You greet the day with an intense relationship situation in progress. Insights about this come. Meditate on whether to hold on or to just let go. Distract yourself with a phone call to a friend you cut off from some time ago. Tonight, happy talk. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. The cell salt sodium sulfate is linked to Taurus. It has been used to treat fluid retention, gallstones, swelling, and constipation. Your cell salt can be found in rosemary, celery, chard, spinach, and radishes. Tonight, find menus online with these 5 different ingredients. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Today indicates overall happiness and appreciation from those you care for. Responsibilities will be easier to cope with. Others will be helpful and supportive. Indulge in some art. Tonight, a seriously romantic night, the likes of which you have not seen for some time. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Today emphasizes your family dynamics and residence. Redecorating and remodeling ideas might appeal to you. A relative makes a surprise announcement. Be diplomatic if you have an urge to voice your concerns or disapproval. Tonight, embrace the healing of peace and quiet. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Relationships with siblings and neighbors can be demanding. Be patient. Undercurrents and extenuating circumstances are afoot. Facts will come to light. You'll be glad that you are understanding and tolerant. Tonight, spill the beans to an old-school friend. They will tell you what's best. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Patience is essential today. Fine-tune your impeccable work ethic. Avoid risky ventures. Suppress any resentment concerning monetary matters. Focus your energy on seeking solutions instead. Tonight, be glad you're in a safe place. Not everyone is, and you have excellent taste. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today brings a renewed sparkle to your image and appearance. A new hairstyle or choice of apparel. You will remember this time as magical. others see you as charming and unpredictable. Do some networking. Tonight, dreaming of the one who makes your heart beat the loudest. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Guidance and inspiration come upon awakening from sleep or following a meditation session. The inherent magic and secrecy calls to you. Be generous with others, and you'll receive an unexpected favor or break. Tonight, do some statistics research, perhaps coronavirus-related. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. There's an accent on community service, politics, and charitable endeavors. Your speaking and writing skills will be in top form. Others will be persuaded by your eloquence. You will greatly enjoy discussing new ideas. Tonight, an old work colleague gets in touch. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today puts a positive spin on your status and career situation. You will be highly visible in your work. Others will express admiration and see you as a role model. Your excitement builds throughout the day. Tonight, continue with the good times. Celebrate afterward. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Today turns your attention toward distant shores. You'll tire of all that has become comfortable and familiar. A blockage that has hampered your progress melts away. An important goal is about to materialize. Tonight, blitz out in front of an intellectual distraction. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today, investments, an inheritance or settlement, and other financial matters are a focus. Investigate and gather information. Awareness of past life recollections and the presence of friendly spirit guides might be heightened. Tonight, a seance or Ouija board session can yield amazing results. Born today, musician Count Basie, 1904, basketball player Wilt Chamberlain, 1936, director Peter Weir, 1944.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.